It's time to join the American Family Robinson again in Birch Falls, where Luke is managing the General Emporium for his Aunt Agatha and keeping tabs on the devious business enterprises of Windy Bill and Cousin Monty. Right now, his mind is more occupied with his own troubles. Myra has won great popularity as a radio speaker with her Women's Column of the Air, but fan letters and programs keep her so busy that she has no time for Luke. This noon, we find him disconsolately entering the Liberty Restaurant to eat a solitary lunch. Sonia, the proprietress, greets him. Let's listen.
Ah, so honored I am that you have come again, Mr. Robinson. Will you not sit at this so nice table?
Oh, hello, Sonia. No, thanks. I think I'll just sit right up here at the counter. A little more cheerful than a table when you're all alone.
Good. Well, Mr. Robinson, I think we can help make you cheerful. You have a good lunch today, and I hope you're hungry.
No, can't say I am. Sort of tired. No lunch for me at home today. Oh, let me have a menu, Sonia. See what sounds good.
Here you are, Mr. Robinson. The corned beef hash is good and it's quick. Mm-hmm. Only takes a minute.
Hey, miss, I'm in a hurry. Got to make 100 miles more this afternoon. What's ready?
Oh, yes, sir. We hurry anything you want.
Here you are, sir. Here's the menu.
Oh, thanks, mister.
Sonia, make mine corned beef hash, poached egg, and some coffee, please.
Yeah, well, that sounds good to me. Make that too, miss.
Very well, gentlemen. 2 corned beef hash, eggs, coffee. You can nibble on these Syrian olives while you wait.
Oh, thanks.
It looks very good.
Oh, how do you do, Baron? I'm so happy you've come.
Oh.
Look, Mr. Robinson, your friend.
Yes, well, this is a pleasant surprise, Baron.
Well, how are you doing, Sonia? Hello, Luke. It is I who am surprised. I thought you never took lunch away from home.
Oh, I break away from the domestic chains once in a while, Baron. Sit down. Matter of fact, I'm turned out of my home today.
Turned out?
Yeah. No one left to fix my lunch.
You would like the regular lunch, Baron? I have a special dish from your home. A beef stew with noodles.
Just the thing, Sonia. And give me plenty of gravy with onions.
I supervise the dish myself. You see, there will be enough.
Fine. I trust only you, Sonia. Next to me, you are the best restaurant keeper in the world. So, look, you're turned out from your home and often in the storm.
Home isn't the same anymore, Baron. Myra's got the radio bee in her bonnet. But I'm the one who gets stung.
Radio B in the bonnet?
Well, never mind. Could I trouble you for the salt, please?
Sure. This radio work keeps Myra too busy for her housewifely duties.
Baron, she's just about forgotten that I exist, except for an occasional pat on the head for poor old Rover. I'm just a dumb animal around the house.
It all comes from this business about equal rights for women.
Equal rights for men is what I'm in favor of.
You said it, mister. Why, around my house, it's gotten so bad that
Here's your food, gentlemen.
Thank you, lady.
This is something like...
So, 2 corned beef hash, a stew for the Baron, or coffee, gentlemen. Pass your cups.
There is an aroma about this stew, Sonia, that brings back the times when I was a little boy back in the old country.
Oh, this hash makes me feel that life may be worth living after all.
Luke, life is always worth living. Just slide that bread over here for like a good fellow, will you?
Yeah. What makes you so cheerful, Baron?
I am celebrating today. I have become a landowner.
Where? In Birch Falls?
Well, not exactly in Birch Falls, but up above in the hills. You see, what with the store and so much business, I'm getting behind in writing my book. So I have bought a shack and some land and some peace and quiet for my work.
Peace and quiet. What beautiful words.
I have given it a name. I call it Camp Kiltair, spelled with K's, you know.
Yes, I know.
Of course, it's only one room and a lean-to, but the situation is perfect. Right in the hills, overlooking a lake, with a hemlock forest all around. You should see it.
Oh, right on the lake, huh?
Only a few feet away. And let me tell you, that lake is full of fish.
Yeah?
Why, even in the short time I was there looking it over, I could see them chomping. And there's a good stream about half mile away. They tell me it's fine for trout.
Oh.
Of course, I am not interested in fishing as much as in writing my book.
Yes, but I am. Say, what I wouldn't give for a few quiet days of fishing. How I'd like to get away from it all.
Well, why can't you come along with me this weekend? I start my vacation, and we can have a good 3 weeks away from business.
Vacation? That's the ideal kind. Yes, but not for me, no. I couldn't possibly get away, not now.
But you are the manager, aren't you? And if it do you good, Luke, you need a vacation.
No. Don't tempt me, Baron. Why, Myra needs me. This new radio work of hers will need a lot of advice from me. Aunt Agatha needs me at the store.
Yes, I know, but...
No. Sorry. Much as I'd like to. A businessman can't shift his responsibilities without making careful plans.
Well, it is certainly a time of responsibility for everybody, especially businessmen and manufacturers.
Well, my responsibility mainly concerns the store. Doesn't have anything to do with the defense program. Sometimes I wish it did. Sometimes I wish I was back in the manufacturing business, making something useful for the country.
You know, Luke, I was reading something in the paper last night about defense. It said that being a democracy, it would be hard for the United States to arm efficiently. What do you think about that?
Oh, I think it's nonsense. That's the kind of loose talk that's being fostered by people who want to change over our private enterprise system. The way I feel is that this country can build up its defenses all right, just as long as political interests don't cripple the efforts of businessmen to manufacture the necessary equipment.
Sounds reasonable to me.
Beg your pardon. I couldn't help overhearing, and I don't agree with you about businessmen being able to handle this defense program.
No? Well, I'd be interested to know your objections, Mr.
My name's Hudson. Now, what I say
is... mine's Robinson, and this is Baron Mitten.
How do you do?
Pleased to meet you. Now, what I say is the defense is the government's business, and the government should absolutely operate the production of all war material.
But production is industry's business. Why interfere with a man who knows his job?
On the scale of manufacturing we got to get into, we're going to need standardization for efficiency's sake.
Ready for dessert, gentlemen? Some nice cherry pie.
Yes, right.
Yeah, make it three, and a little more coffee, too, just to warm this up.
Right. Three cherry pies and some more coffee.
Oh, I think I'll take coffee, too, Sonia. I need a little extra energy to cope with this gentleman's argument for efficiency. That's just how a lot of people argued in the last war, Mr. Hudson. That government should control production. And it cost billions of the taxpayers' money to find out it was wrong.
An expensive lesson in arithmetic.
You mean to tell me you think businessmen should direct the Army and Navy how to defend this country?
No, indeed. The military experts are in the position to know just what is needed. And no politician should be in charge of determining that issue any more than of how the defense equipment should be produced. That is industry's business.
But what about the waste of the taxpayers' money in the last war, Luke? What became of those lost billions you speak of?
Into thin air. Some of it went for manufacturing plants that were never used, built terminals that never functioned, manufactured tools, planes, and other materials that were inefficient to use. For instance, $50 million was spent on spruce production for airplanes, and yet over 90% of all spruce used was bought independently of that main order. Railroads built at $10 million to carry spruce lumber were never used.
Well, now that's something I didn't know. Sounds like there really was some mistakes in the last war.
Which we are still paying for. And they're all mistakes made from lack of knowledge of coordinated production.
Here you are, gentlemen. Pie and coffee.
Thanks, Tony. Thank you
very much.
And our industrialists are the best in the world. They've spent lifetimes learning about production. They can't afford to make mistakes. If they had, they'd have been out of business long ago.
Well, at times like these, the country can't afford to repeat previous mistakes.
Yes, sir. Well, I must say, I never thought about things in that light before. So, gents, what I say is, let's not have any waste of time or money. That'd be fatal. And incidentally, any more waste of time, it'd be fatal for me, too.
What's your hurry?
I've got a contract pending later this afternoon. Got a long drive ahead of me. Well, nice to meet you, fellas.
Oh, sorry you've got to rush off. Maybe there's some other matters we could settle.
Well, I'd like to stick around, but I can't. How much owe you, lady?
50 cents.
Here you are. It's a nice lunch.
Thank you.
It's too bad you can't stay, Mr. Hudson. I think there is a broadcast in a few minutes on the defense problem. We can hear it on Sonia's radio. You don't mind if I turn on the radio, Sonia, huh?
But don't make it too loud.
Well, I'll read about it in the papers tomorrow. Goodbye, gentlemen. Glad to meet you.
Goodbye. Hope that contract stays on ice for you.
Yeah, goodbye. Sorry you can't stay. Well, how about it, Luke? Do you want to hear this?
Well, I hope it doesn't take too long. I've got to get back to the store.
I'm not quite sure what station this is on.
Oh, Baron, you'll drive the customers away. Here, I will find a good station. You go back and finish your coffee.
But, Sonia, I know how to regulate.
You better come, Baron. When a lady gives an order like that, it's best to obey.
I always give in to ladies on small matters.
I always give in to the ladies on all matters.
There. Here's a good station. You men can never find anything, even on a radio.
Just between us women, our column today will deal with another angle on how to keep keep our homes happy.
Good heavens, Myra again. Is there no escape?
In these troubled times, a quiet, peaceful home means more even than ever to all of us. What I believe in is peace at any price. When it concerns the home, and that is why I have a few suggestions tonight for you listeners to help you keep your homes happy and...
Getting so any home at all would seem good to me.
Listen.
Listen, I've heard this all before.
Obligations to our men. And as all of us women know, if our husbands aren't contented and satisfied, our homes reflect their discontent right away. A grouchy man makes the whole...
That's what's the matter with your home, Luke. You must be grouchy.
Sure.
To our husband's peace of mind. Yeah. Humor the dear man. Make them feel important. Of course, we women know that half the stories he tells about how busy he is are, well, exaggerated. Never mind, listen politely and don't question a word. After all, what does it matter if it keeps peace in the family?
How true that
is. Baron, please turn that thing off. Turn it off.
Does our husband very well, if not better, and certainly with much less fuss. But my suggestion is to let your husband think he's the world's greatest executive. And if he wants to think he's indispensable, let him think so. For instance, my husband...
Brace yourself, Luke.
I can take it. Maybe.
My husband believes that he is very handy around the house. Why, I think he's sure the place would fall to pieces if he weren't around. But you should just see him hang a picture of all the ridiculous performances. But I never say a word, and I always listen to his stories, always the same ones, over and over again. But I suppose all husbands are like that. They think the home can't possibly get along without them. How conceited men are.
Oh, ridiculous, ridiculous. Sonia, turn that thing off. I've heard all I want. Turn it off. Turn it off and fast.
Oh, you're angry, Mr. Robinson?
Angry? No, I'm just fed up. Useless, am I, huh? Just endured around the house, am I?
Remember, it's just a radio program. Myra doesn't mean it.
Well, I mean plenty. I hope that invitation of yours is still good, Baron.
Of course it's good, Baron. Yeah. Mitt Nick is a man of his word.
Fine, because I'm accepting it.
But this is wonderful.
I'm going to swap my doghouse for your shack in the woods. I'm going to be an exile from civilization.
You better not be too brash, Mr. Robinson.
Quiet, Sonia. Luke, when do you want to start?
Right now. Come on, Baron. Let's pack. We're off for Camp Kilcare.
Wait, Luke, wait. Here, Sonia, keep the change. Camp Kilcare, we are coming.
So Luke reaches the end of his patience and plans to seek refuge in Camp Kilcare. What will Myra say to this decision? And will Aunt Agatha be pleased at Luke's sudden departure, leaving the store to her? What will happen? Listen to our next program, and until then, goodbye. The American Family Robinson, which is broadcast regularly over this station, is written by Marjorie Bartlett and Douglas Silver and presented by the National Industrial Council. Thank you.